Well, it's so good to be with you here at Resurrection Anglican Church on San Juan Avenue in Jacksonville, Florida. Good to be back home in Jacksonville where I was raised up and spent a good bit of my early life. I bring you greetings from Christ the King Anglican Church in St. Augustine. Your sister congregation was just there 2 weeks ago where Father David Alert retired. So pray for Christ the King as they begin the search process for their new rector. But I bring you their greetings, and I will be at St. Peter's Cathedral in Tallahassee next weekend. Can I carry Resurrection's greetings on to St. Peter's? Yes. All right, I'll do that. So thank you. One of the joys for Jody and I is that we get to travel around and see all the churches of our diocese and get to spend time with them, as we did with many of you last night at the Christmas party, which was so much fun, especially because my football team won. So, but I can say that in Jacksonville. See, some places I can't say that. But it's so great to be with you and to be able to connect the congregations of our diocese. So thank you for that. I will I'll carry those on. So, well, will you pray with me as we begin to examine, read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest the Lord's words? Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts and minds of your faithful people. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. I knew I was in trouble on Friday night. We came over early because Jody's parents live here in Jacksonville. We came over early to check on them and just to kind of settle in. And I had some meetings. I got to meet with a guy that wants to be ordained, and I had lunch with him. And so we were here early, came Friday night, and I was like down to like 56 miles till empty. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to pull off of 295. I'm going to pull off at the Costco's and get that good, cheap Costco's gas. Costco's is not an official sponsor of my ministry, by the way. So, but it's helpful in this story. So we pull off, and you live in Jacksonville, so you know the mistake we made. It was 6 p.m. In Tallahassee, by 6 p.m., the traffic has died down, right? Rush hour is over. Not so much in Jacksonville. I'd forgotten that. We got off on Collins Road. And instantly, GPS, which is always so unhelpful, turns red and reminds me that I'm in a huge traffic jam. To make things worse, I made the right onto Collins, not realizing that Costco's is on that silly little road that starts with a P, Paramore. And so I'm in the wrong lane. I have to wait and make this horrible turn right on red, you know, the whole thing. And then find this little neighborhood to turn around in. And of course, then nobody wants to let me back onto to Collins. And eventually, I meandered down to Costco's. I did get there, and the gas is cheap as always, so praise God. But that is that mistake, that recognizing and finding yourself in this horrible situation and having your wife beside you, reminding you not to wreck her car and to calm down and all this kind of stuff. Just a wonderful time of building relationship between me for Jody and myself. So anyway, but we survived it. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because I tell you that story because this call from John the Baptist, this cry out, prepare ye the way of the Lord. In the old King James Version, prepare the way of the Lord is this sounding, this boasting sound that comes from the prophet out in the wilderness to those who would come out there with him. Jewish people would come out and hear it. He's proclaiming that we need to be preparing ourselves for his coming. We sing, Come Lord Jesus, in our songs. The most famous Advent hymn of all, O Come Emmanuel, is all about calling the Lord to come. But John reminds us that before the Lord comes, we have to prepare ourselves. And part of that preparation is being willing to admit that we've made some grave mistakes, much like my entering onto Collins Road. To receive all that the Lord has for us, all that he has for us, his power, his peace that we sang about, his presence, to fully receive all that the Lord wants for us, we have to make preparation. We have to prepare him room in order to do that. Paul is, and can you imagine being like Paul to be able to say, I mean, I can't. I mean, in Corinthians, the Corinthians lesson you heard, Paul saying, I don't allow anyone to judge me. I'm not allowing you to judge me. As a matter of fact, I don't even judge myself. But there is one who will judge me, the author of all. And for him I must give account, Paul will say. The righteous judge will come and we will have to give account. So John comes in the desert, the precursor, the forerunner, to remind us that we have to prepare to make him room. And he offers them a baptism of repentance. Now, being good Anglicans, we appreciate that there is a sacramental aspect to this, right? How do you demonstrate repentance? Well, John offers them this water baptism where they can be immersed and cleansed as the purification, the mikvah celebration that was used in the Old Testament and into the new as the first century Jews would have practiced it. This cleansing, this going down into the water and coming up to prepare ourselves. Not the baptism of Jesus, that will come after, later on, after Jesus actually is raised from the dead. But here it's just that purification, that preparing yourself. And it's a way of showing that you're repentant, that you're willing to stop, as in the other night, and make the U-turn and head back in the other direction. Willingness to admit that we might be forgiven, because if we're honest, there are lots of places. If we ever stop and slow down, there are lots of places that we must recognize that we have gone the wrong way. And I'm here, I am talking about salvation. I am talking about that moment as a lost person when you acknowledge for the first time Christ is Savior and Lord, but also that continuing pattern that we must follow, because it goes on. Repentance isn't a once and done thing. It's a constant reminder. As a matter of fact, Martin Luther, you know, famously said that repentance should be the very pattern of our lives. Our lives should be marked by continual repentance, recognizing that we're going the wrong way and having the humility to stop and turn around. The first thing to note is the busyness of the world. There is a busy world that John the Baptist comes proclaiming in. There are secular leaders that are mentioned. And by the way, I warned Deacon Peter, look, there's some hard words in that passage, and he found them. You could hear him found them. But all those leaders that were mentioned, those are all historically verifiable people that historically root John into a place and time in history. And then there are religious leaders, Annas and Caiaphas, who were father and son-in-law, who were the high priest and sort of had this power block within Judaism. They're all mentioned there. But in the midst of all the busyness, all the things that are going on that are earth-shattering, quote-unquote, the Word of God pierces. The Word of God pierces through and comes through the prophet John the Baptist and says, prepare the way of the Lord. The voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Now, the first six verses that we have this week really describe what we're to stop doing, I would suggest to you. The second part, and the way the lectionary breaks this up, is that we get the first part of, if you will, John the Baptist's sermon, and then we get the second part next week. The second part more focuses on what we are to start doing. But there's an element of starting as well in here. But there's the stop, the repent, the turnaround, and then there's the top. Pastor Joe or whoever is preaching next week will get to take that second part on. So he'll get to. I'm trying. I'm working on it. But we have to be willing to hear from the Lord. We have to be willing to quiet ourselves from the busyness. I think it's ironic, right? We talk about the Advent slowdown, you're slowing down at Christmas time, and yet I had one of my staff members said that she and her husband have 6 Christmas parties to go to. 6 Christmas parties. I'm still wrapping my mind around it. That's like more than one a week, right? We have to be willing to quiet ourselves and to allow the Lord to hear us. I think it's part of the joy of going into a quiet place. I love the fact that the images of John in the wilderness areas. He's out in that quiet place, that place that we often avoid, that putting down the cell phone, that turning off the television, that not being engaged with social media, not even being on our phones. It bothers me a little bit. I see people out there, like they're walking, and the whole time they're on their phone. I like to run. I run in the woods near Tallahassee, and it just annoys me when I see people in the woods with their phone. And it's, you know, you don't want to know what I want to say to them, so. But I don't. But it's like, can we just recognize the call from the wilderness that John echoes, that he brings this ancient word from Isaiah 40, you know, prepare the way of the Lord. Make room for him. Quiet yourself that you may hear him. Well, this word of repentance, as I've already said, is so important. Paul calls the Corinthians back to repentance. He says there's an arrogance here. I mean, he's so masterful in the way he says it. I don't know if you know much about the Corinthians, but they thought they really had got it figured out. So first of all, they thought the resurrection had already occurred, and they thought they had pretty much achieved sinlessness, and they were walking away in spiritual arrogance. And Paul says, You're winning. Look at you guys. Look how wonderful you are. Oh, by the way, let me remind you about the apostles. In rags, beaten, persecuted, in need. But you guys, you've got it all together. I mean, you can hear the sarcasm in his voice, right? As he's saying, he's calling them back to recognize probably the best biblical example we have of repentance comes to us from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, where Luke gives us the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son comes to that place where he's feeding, remember, he's feeding the pigs, and he's beginning to wish that he could eat the pods that the pigs are eating. He comes to his own mind, and it says in the Gospel that he says, the slaves in my father's house have it better than me. And he gets up and in humility turns around and he goes back to his father. Brothers and sisters, if we are to read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest God's word, it will be a reminder that this call of John to prepare ourselves for the Lord, it's a constant call back to repentance. It's a constant call to quiet ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, where have I gone wrong? My own spiritual growth, I've been involved with a covenant group of other bishops. And it's we get up at 7 a.m. and we spend from 7 to 8 a.m. in accountability every Thursday morning. And one of the practices that we've been learning is about the examine, which is an ancient practice of the church. It's something we get in the great tradition. And it's not overly complicated. An examine is simply that you quiet yourself before the Lord. And you sit in quiet. You welcome the Lord, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit into your presence. You're just aware that God is there. And then you simply say, what do I have to give thanks for the day that just happened? Or this day, if it's at the end of the day, you can do it at the end of the day or the morning. What is it that I have to give thanks for? What is it that I need to ask forgiveness for? You just kind of go through your day. And it's, let me tell you, it's amazing. If you do this, it's amazing how the Lord reminds you of that word you said, or that attitude you had, or that judgment you gave against someone. It's like, oh, yeah, Lord. Because, I mean, your first glance is, I don't know that I have anything to give, you know, ask forgiveness for today. And then if you really quiet yourself, oh, okay, yeah, there are a few things there, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, that I shouldn't have said that word, the football game. Yeah, that's true. And it's about resetting our heart. It's about being willing to recognize and to commit ourselves fully to allowing this, to do as Martin Luther said, to allow this to be the pattern of our lives, of stopping, sitting humbly before the Lord, and letting Him speak that word to us. Well, John goes on, or the words from Isaiah there that we have, that quote, whether it's Luke reminding us of the context, or if it's actually those are the actual words, but there's this reminder of that valleys will be raised up and mountains will be flattened, rough places will be made smooth, crooked roads will be made straight. I have to remind myself, it's good that I-10 is so straight because it means I get there as quick as possible. But gosh, I would love a little bit of a turn at some point in I-10, right? The straightest road in the world. But I'm kind of working my own issues out this morning. But making those things true in all those cases, whether it's a tunnel through the mountain or if it's a bridge over a valley or if it's a dirt road that is finally paved, all those things remind us of images of making it easy, removing the obstacles that allow the Lord to come to us and us to return to Him. And that's the pattern I want in my life, and I want for each of you, that we're taking that time to quiet ourselves, to say, Lord, what's the obstacle that I need to remove? And I don't know what that might be for you. I can tell you that just recently the Lord, you know, in one of these times as part of this group, I was reminded of a person that had sinned against me 30 years ago that I had really never forgiven. And it was like, Lord, I didn't even think about, you know, actively forgiving that person. But if in any way that lack of forgiveness on my part to them is hindering my allowing you to come more fully in my life, then Lord, I forgive them. And I ask you to bless them wherever they are. Theologians debate is the straightening and the flattening and the crooked made straight. Is that about the Lord coming to us, or is that about us coming to the Lord? And my answer to it is yes. It's about both of those. So today, in this season of Advent, I invite you to really embrace this making room for the Lord through being willing to look at repentance, being willing to fully immerse yourself in removing those obstacles that might be in the way. It's really about humble access. How do we do this? It's about coming in humility. It's about saying, Lord, surely there are things that I'm doing, that I did over the last 24 hours, that I need to repent of and ask your forgiveness. Ways that I need to be morally corrected. Or maybe even just allow the Holy Spirit to prompt you. We just had our synod back in October, and the focus of our diocesan synod was on evangelism, something I know that this congregation, you are engaging actively, and I applaud you for the work you're doing at Bayview Elementary, and the way you're blessing the community, the way you're showing them the compassion and love of Christ, and meeting physical needs, and then being ready to receive these folks in hospitality as they come to your door. But as we began to have this evangelism conference, I was reminded of something I had learned a long time ago, which is basically this prayer you can pray, whether you're getting on an airplane or in line at the Publix or wherever you shop or whatever you're doing, to say, Lord, I'm ready to talk about you. Start the conversation. Just that little simple prayer. one of our clergy in the diocese was out at a restaurant, and there was a young girl behind the counter, and she saw he and his wife pray over their food. And she walked up and said, "I noticed that you were praying before you ate." Just that little simple act. She says, you know, and engaged in conversation. And the long story short was that he ended up inviting her to that church. And that young girl, who happened to have her name Alex, which is sweet. I thought that was cool. Her name was Alex, that she actually ended up getting baptized and becoming a part of that community. Are we ready to prepare the room for the Lord? Not just for His moral correction, but also for the Spirit's prompting. The Lord calls us to quiet ourselves, to make Him room, to recognize that there is much more that He wants to do in our lives and make Himself known to us than we can ask or imagine. Eye is not seen, Paul says. Ear has not heard those things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Will we make Him room? And remember that we're preparing the way of the Lord. It's not simply about changing us, transforming us. It's about Him coming to be with us. You see, He meets us there. He comes to be with us. That is the incarnation. God with us. Emmanuel. So let us prepare our hearts. Make Him room. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, You are so merciful to us. You have offered Yourself, the person of Your Son, Jesus, to be with us forever. And You offer us forgiveness, Lord, for all those ways that we have gone our own way and made a mess of it. Lord, we thank You for Your gift of salvation, Lord, and we thank You that we can continually come to You in repentance and receive again Your renewal, Your new life, Your peace that the world does not understand and cannot take away. Oh come, Emmanuel. We desire to make You room. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Would you stand with me? Let's affirm the faith that is so well summarized in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.